Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Venkin from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
You're good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Adam, what were a couple of your main takeaways yesterday from the press conference with David Poyle and John Hines? He spoke for a long time, over 45 minutes of conversation at the main press conference, and then kind of divided up and went to, you know, some separate one-on-one individual press conferences as well. What stood out to you the most yesterday?
You know, I do think that David Poyle's impassioned defense of John Hines stood out to me, specifically the part that we have discussed even before David Poyle actually said it, that David Poyle is responsible for not giving John Hines perhaps the best possible roster to win with. And I thought him admitting that, you know, that is something that I know Joe has felt, and you know, I have felt, and I think, Robbie, you have too. Like, we've talked about that a lot. But to hear David Poyle actually say that, I did think was interesting. My biggest takeaway from the press conference, and the one that I was going to say umbrage with, because that means I was upset about it, but the thing that left me scratching my head is that the Predators do not believe they need to undergo a full-fledged rebuild. And I am not convinced that this team can get better without getting worse first. You know, David Poyle does not see this team tearing it down. He told me off to the side that he's not willing to even entertain taking on an undesirable contract in exchange for future assets. Now, I wasn't saying that he should go full-blown Arizona Coyotes and take on everybody's garbage, but the Arizona Coyotes do have 7 picks in the first 2 rounds of this draft, including 3 in the first round. And if the Predators do have, as I said to David yesterday, a plethora of cap space, even though, to his point multiple times, if they re-sign Philip Forsberg, it is not as much as it looks. But even if they do re-sign Philip Forsberg to a $9 million per season contract, they still have, I believe, around $15 million in space. He's not even willing to take on 1 bad contract in exchange for future assets. So to me, I just do not see a path forward for this group to get better without getting worse first. And the fact that it appears that this organization is unwilling to do that says to me, to parrot Joe's column, that they are prepared to potentially stay mired in mediocrity. And I heard what Willie's text to Joe said, and yes, making the playoffs is a good thing, but I think we are past the point where just making the playoffs should be accepted. So to me, if you make the playoffs as a wild card team every year and get bounced in the first round, that's mediocrity. Just making the playoffs doesn't mean you're not mediocre. So I just don't see a path forward for this group without getting worse first, and it does not appear that they're willing to do that.
Joe?
Yeah, that's Michelle. What are you doing to me over there?
I was editing your FanDuel. Sorry.
I was like, I know that I have muting issues, but I'm not this bad. Okay, well, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you, Adam, on that. So I think. Look, I'm going to go ahead and give you the rainbows and puppies. Well, My Little Pony, I guess. that's the theme of the show this week. Scenario. Okay. So Yossi is just as good. Saros is amazing. Duchesne, look, I'm not going to go 50 goals like Poyle went yesterday, but Duchesne's right around 40 again. Forsberg signed, right around 40 again. Johansson, Granlund, these core players, all are really good. Tolvanen, huge bounce back season. You know, the herd line builds on what they did last year, but they take it to an entire season. By the way, you know, we were there talking to John Hines afterward, and he had some interesting thoughts kind of on how that went, you know, but that we can talk about that later. Poyle adds a couple of pieces. Now, this is where it gets a little bit like, who exactly? How much, right? But he adds a couple of pieces. They are fortified with their decor. Lozon ends up being a really nice, you know, consistent third-pairing guy with Borowiecki, or Borowiecki, as Poyle says. They've actually got a legit top six. You're telling me that team couldn't win in the playoffs next year?
First of all, I'd just like to say that you're going to come out as a brony here in a little while, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. You know what a brony is, right?
No! A jabroni? What?
I don't even know what that means.
A brony is an adult man who loves My Little Pony.
Come on. That does not exist.
No. Look it up at the break. B-R-O-N-I-E. I believe that's what it is. So Joe is a closeted brony.
Holy crap. We've opened up the dark web for real this time. All right, sorry.
Okay, so look, you want to talk about sunshine and rainbows and My Little Pony and Care Bears and all that stuff. That hypothetical that you just described to me is extreme.
But none of it's impossible.
Is it, though? Like, what are the chances that everything you just said happens exactly as it? What are the odds of that happening? Like, yes, if Matthew Shane and Phillip if Matthew Shane scores 40 goals again, and Phillip Forsberg comes back and scores 45, and Roman Josi has a repeat performance of a season that had not been done by a defenseman in 30 years, and all of these other things that you talked about, like, yeah, it all sounds nice, but the odds of all of that happening are incredibly low. Like, to me, the issue. The glaring issue is the Predators do have some nice players. And in the case of Roman Josi, they have, you know, perhaps the most elite defenseman in the league in regards of his ability to generate offense. And they have a very good goaltender in UC Saros who might just be scratching the surface of his potential. But what's missing to me is that one young franchise-altering type player. Like, we can talk about Elli Tolvanen and Tanner Janot and Jakob Trenin and Luke Cunnan, but they do not have that 22, 23-year-old player who is already a star that you can point to and say, as I said, I think, on the show last week, this is the future of the Nashville Predators. I don't see that player. I mean, at the end of the day, their core is old. I mean, Roman is in his early 30s. I mean, I'm saying this as a 33-year-old. Roman is in his early 30s. Matthew Shane is in his early 30s. Brian Johansson is turning 30 this summer. Mikael Granlund is 30. Philip Forsberg's in his late 20s. The problem is their best players are all, you know, on the latter half of their prime years. You know, I just don't see a player who hasn't even entered his prime yet that you can, you know, hitch your wagon to. So your idyllic plan sounds great. I just don't think it's actually possible.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. So Adam, first off, great job of reporting the John Hines contract extension. What did you make of that decision by the Predators, which, as you know, generated a lot of reaction when you tweeted that out the other night?
It certainly did. I was a little surprised that they just did not pick up the option and add another year. Now, as it has been discussed on this show, and I believe Jared mentioned it yesterday too, that, you know, this contract is not ironclad. Just because they've added two more years onto his contract does not mean that he will make it through those 2 years. I went back and looked at this. The Devils announced their new contract with John Hines in January of 2019. He was fired in December of that year. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen here. But, and to be clear, because this was a question that was asked a lot by fans, and I think, Joe, you clarified this with David yesterday, this contract is for next season and the season after. Right. The option year is not relevant. So he's under contract through the end of the 23-24 season. So he's got next season and the season after that on his contract, as well as his assistants. So, but at the end of the day, I'm closer to your thoughts on Joe, on David, than on Jared. I mean, on John, excuse me, than on Jared. Because I agree with Jared that you got to win. And he's 3-11 in the postseason, and the team is 0-3 in postseason series under John Hines. But I do believe he has made an overall positive impact on this group. But at this point, especially with David saying what he said about wanting to, giving John an imperfect hand, and he's going to go out, it sounds like, and spend money to make this team better, that excuse is gone now. So now it's up to John to get even more out of this group. So I do think that John did enough good to earn the new contract. But the pressure is absolutely on now, especially if David does what he says and goes out and makes this team better over the summer.
No, I totally agree. Look, John Hines has done a good job. I believe that. And that's a very consistent message, okay? Press conferences, not press conferences. Talk to anybody around the organization. Like, there's a lot of respect for him and the job he's done. And I think it's certainly was appropriate to pick up the option. But I also agree that, like, at some point you got to have playoff success. And look, as much as we give John Hines credit for Duchesne, I think he deserves it. Go through that whole process. You know, he found something. He got the best out of Duchesne. I don't know what more you would want from a coach on an individual level than something like that story, for example, and Johansson too. But Tolvanen didn't get better this year. You know, so there's also some individuals who are, like, you're looking at John Hines and saying, okay, can you figure out Tolvanen now? You know, can you figure out or stop playing Cunning? You know, or put him somewhere? You know, I mean, there's still some individual storylines that are, you know, that he's on the hook for as well. I agree. Look, if he has playoff success, then I think John Hines, you know, then that's like he's a coveted name around the NHL. He's not right now because he hasn't, but I think he's done well. Also, holy crap, this Brony thing. I mean, my gosh, it's real, and Michelle just found
it. So I spelled it incorrectly.
I'm freaked out.
I spelled it incorrectly, as Michelle has tweeted. It's BR. The way I spelled it is the plural of Brony. If you're a singular Brony, it's B-R-O-N-Y, and the definition is a man who is a fan of the My Little Pony television program in Range of Toys, which Joe is clearly one of.
Get him a wig.
Good God.
I love to brush your hair and mane.
All righty, on that note,
Ken. Good night, everybody. What were you going to say, Megan?
Sorry. We could just talk about, you know, My Little Pony. You know, I was more of a Legos guy growing up, personally. But, yeah, I mean, look, there are still things that John has to figure out. I do think that John needs to find a way to play UC Soros less. I think finding a competent backup is imperative, and that could be Connor Ingram. And as John said, like, he's not forcing UC Soros out there. Like, it's not like he's dragging UC Soros into the crease. UC Soros said at the end of the season that if he felt tired, he would have said something to the coaching staff. But I do think that there needs to be a plan to limit the number of games that UC plays in the regular season. He started, 67 games? I think that number needs to be under 60 or no more than 60. I do think that, you know, his continued use of Luke Cunningham in the top six, despite zero relevant production, was a bit of a head scratcher, and I think that goes back to finding some top six caliber wingers for this team next season, so that Luke can play in a different role where he's not being tasked necessarily with providing offense. I do think that it is fair to wonder whether the physical style that John likes his players to play is sustainable over an 82-game season. There are things that he needs to improve on, absolutely. But I do, as you said, believe that he has done more good than bad as head coach of the Nashville Predators.
You two have totally torpedoed this program. Adam, thanks so much for coming on today. Appreciate your thoughts on the
National pictures are Predators. Horrifying.
I can't believe you hadn't heard of a Brony before.
Oh, my gosh. It's a new world. It's a bold new world we're stepping into.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
See ya.
All right. I expect 45 more minutes of Brony talk.
Yes. Thank you. We'll get right to it. Adam Bingen from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. We'll take your thoughts, hopefully, on the Predators. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay every single week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. I like Golden State coming up in Game 2. I think Steph Curry and company have what it takes to get the job done. I think they win, and I'll take Steph Curry over on points as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Rob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is Rob. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets. If your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win, FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Yeah, where did that internet rumor start? I talked to somebody this morning, and I'm like, hey, there's an internet rumor out there that this is 6 years. And I was told, like, nah, it's total bullcrap. And I'm like, where did that start?
I think
and
somebody trolled Joe Rexroth.
Somebody said that Joe took the bait on either Twitter or something like that, the text line.
Or the text line.
Or something. Joe took the bait on it, and that it became, like, a thing. And I do love how Joe falls. Like, Joe hates talk radio. He hates it. He hates talk radio, and he hates – like debate shows.
I don't think
shows.
That's true.
No, it's absolutely true. He hates talk radio and he hates debate shows.
He likes doing
it. I don't know. But he hates, like, he's a writer. So the writers think that they're so much better than talk radio. They think talk radio is all speculation and bullcrap, which I think writing is almost the same thing. It's just you ask somebody and they lie to your face about what it is that they say and then you write whatever you want to write. It's all the same to me. But anywho, I digress. So he hates talk radio, yet he does talk radio. He hates debate shows. And yet he does debate. He does a debate with us every week. He hates, like, non-source speculation bullcrap. And then he runs with a wild rumor that extension was 6 years. And I'm the one who has to put it out this morning. And Adam Vingan's like, where did you hear 6 years? Because I talked to somebody this morning. I'm like, hey, is this true? They're like, no. And I was like, okay, they say it's not 6 years. And I'm like, and Adam goes, where did you hear that? I was like, I don't know. I tuned into Robbie and Rex Road and they were talking about it. So that's all I know.
What brilliant analysis there by Skip yesterday on the program. Yo, Rex Road, that's what I was talking about earlier. Your response.
I love talk radio. I hate idiotic talk radio. That's all I have to say.
Okay. What about
yes.
are you a writer that feels like
yes Bill freaking Shakespeare over here, that's right. Just way better than you. Yeah, I mean, come on.
That's a great Matt Foley reference, by the way.
Yeah. Tell me, Dad, I can't see very well. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there? Shut up, Jared.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say. But I did fall on the sword on the. Remind me again how that exactly came about. It was it text?
I mean, a caller call in.
Yeah, it was a caller.
You talked about 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. Caller called in and said there. And what? And how did he term it? He's like, "There's." Do you remember how he termed it? What he said?
He said no, it was just 6 years.
But he said, like, there's reports out there that
it's 6 years.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, I mean, and this is the challenge sometimes of, you know, doing a live show, so you can. You can, I guess, ignore that. We just sort of bandied about, like, okay. But then we immediately were skeptical, like, okay, where? Show me, right? And then basically we debunked it quickly. But
yeah, like this is somehow turned into, and this is not just a Jared thing. Like I saw this on my Twitter mentions yesterday too. Like this is somehow turned into, like I guess we talked about a 6-year contract for John Hines for like 3.5 hours yesterday. I was like, no, I don't. Matter of fact, I think the first thing we said about it was, yeah, I don't think that's been reported, and I don't think that's true. So,
what should be expected of John Hines in the 5th year of this deal coming up at 6 years? Let's talk about his 5th year. Where should they preds be? That's exactly what the show was.
Oh, man.
Jared.
Mike from Shelbyville on the text line says, Joe is a man who is too overly cultured for Jared to handle. He enjoys and dabbles in all things, as we just found out, including
a man of luxury.
My Little Pony. Yeah.
He's a brony.
Yeah.
I think we need. We will revisit the bronies at the end of the show. Let's pretend that they don't exist and we never heard it. Now for the next like half hour, okay. I'm trying to unsee things and unhear things. It's very difficult.
Heidi from Dixon texting in says, "Can y'all put a percentage on the next 3 years with what we know now and projecting growth or setbacks? Will the Preds make any deep runs? Will they miss the playoffs any?" It's coming from Heidi from Dixon. I mean, if I had to answer that question right now, let's just assume Forsberg's back. I mean, my assumption is they're going to be a playoff team next year. And depending on who they add in the top six and what their matchup is, I mean, we'll see what they can do from there. But I guess I would answer it by saying my expectations at this moment heading into next season, if they get Forsberg coming back, I don't think they're going to be a huge difference in how they finish the season. Like, I'll pick them as probably a fringe playoff team with a chance to, you know, have a good regular season, maybe push for that 3 spot in the Central Division. But I'm not going, I don't think anybody's going to have the Predators, you know, barring an incredible offseason, as Stanley Cup picks next season in the preseason.
No, and I don't think that there's, I don't, you know, think about the move Poile made 6 years ago, trading for Subban. You know, that team was, they were fine. They were clearly a playoff team all year. They weren't great. And then they faded a little bit. Well, actually, they were really struggling for part of the year. They end up being, again, as everybody knows, the 8, or really the 16, right, in that playoffs, I believe, and then making a Stanley Cup final run. But that one move changed, I think, pretty significantly the league outlook on them, right?
Yeah.
Is there a move that could be made this summer to do that? I mean, I guess if you can sign Forsberg and add Johnny Gaudreau, hey, you make that happen.
Maybe something like that. But, I mean, I think back to 2016. I mean, you had made the playoffs in 2015. You had a way better season than anybody thought they were going to have. They got beat by the Cup champions in Chicago. The next year, you traded for Ryan Johansson. He went to game 7 on the second round against San Jose. Like, they were building something.
Yes.
And then Subban was kind of that cherry on top, too, where you felt like, okay, well, this team's ready to take it to the next level. Like, everybody talks about the 2017 run coming out of nowhere, and it did to a certain degree because of how the season went. But I remember what that preseason was like. There was absolutely people picking the Predators to make deep playoff runs.
Yeah.
It wasn't as out of nowhere as everybody makes it seem like.
Right. And again, and this is really going back at Preds fans who are really down on everything, who say, so you have one random run, and then everybody keeps talking about that. But again, they did reinforce it the next year with what they were. They were a great team the next year. They were. And they lost in the second round to Winnipeg, the start of an incredible rivalry that would overtake the NHL.
Yeah.
Which, to the point of Heidi's question, you know, you're talking about 3 years. I mean, I don't know. That's the halfway point of John Hines' new deal.
Yes.
Kidding. Yes, it is. But I almost feel like, in all seriousness, like obviously a deep run would be preferred, but I almost feel like just like missing the playoffs once or something. Like people just want something different. Now, they would be mad about that, but you know what I mean? It's like do something that looks like you're jarring things a little bit, you know, that you're not caught in this stretch of the same thing over and over again. It's not really the same thing over and over again, but it feels that way to fans, and I get it.
Coming up next, it is time for Weekend Winners. Lots of action in the world of sports this weekend. We'll have some picks for you coming up on the other side. Season tickets for the Preds 22-23 season are on sale now. You can have full, half, or quarter season plans that are available to you. Join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations, and season ticket citizens also will receive up to 6 bonus tickets to share with friends and family during the 22-23 regular season. Season ticket citizens receive season-long benefits, including concession discounts, Nashville locker room discounts, pre-sales to shows at Bridgestone Arena, savings on Preds Foundation events, and much more. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. And it is that time of the week, time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. That's a lot of action coming up this week in the NBA playoffs and the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Everything on the table. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, give us a quick standings update in the competition and weekend winners.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? Because you're number one. Robbie and Michelle both went 4-3. Both got their locks last week. Yeah? Does that sound wrong to you?
No, perfect.
Really? Did I have it wrong?
To be honest, I have no idea.
Okay. I did not get my lock last week. I know that. So.
Oh, shoot. I'm dumb. I just I said you guys both went 4-3 and got your locks. No, you both went 4-3 and got 4 points because you didn't get your locks. But last week was a week you guys had an extra pick. So.
Correct.
Off to a good start. So anyway, these bronies. No. So I went 2-4 with 2 points. So Robbie, 46-32, 8-5 with his locks, 54 points. I am now 44-34, 8-5 also, 52 points. Michelle, getting a little closer, 36-42, 3-10 on the locks, 39 points.
There we go. So let's go. Let's get started with the Battle of Alberta coming up tonight. Edmonton and Calgary. Calgary takes game 1, 9-6. The final score. Joe Rexroad, let's start with you. Who do you have winning tonight in game 2 between Edmonton and Calgary?
Yeah, I've got to go with the Flames. You know, I thought you talk about a chance to really snatch someone's heart away. You come back in that game in game 1, this wild, crazy game, which probably benefits Edmonton more than Calgary, and then you still lose 9-6. I don't think it's going to go well here for the Oilers. Give me the Flames.
That's a tough one. I'll go with Calgary as well and make it my lock. I am locking down on the Calgary Flames. I think they win tonight, and I think they win very easily in this series. Michelle Knezevic, Calgary against Edmonton. Who you got in game 2?
For everything you guys said, 3-3, give me the Flames as well.
New York Rangers taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, Joe, I thought the Rangers played pretty darn well in game 1, and Shesterkin looked pretty good, and all of a sudden – you let Carolina come back at the end of that game. Carolina didn't have anything going in the first two periods of that game. And then basically just an innocent puck thrown to the net by Ian Cole, redirected by Rangers defenseman Pat Shesterkin, and Carolina wins game 1. I'll start on this one. I think Carolina wins tonight in game 2. I think they're going to play much better. Game 1 to me felt like such a missed opportunity for the Rangers. So I'll go Carolina with a better effort tonight at home. And they take a 2-0 series lead. Michelle Knezevic, the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Who you got tonight?
I got the – give me the Rangers. Give me New York all the way. Sorry, I was flustered for a second.
There you go. Rangers.
Are you still Googling bronies over there? Mm-hmm. Don't go too far.
I'm just trying to find you, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rex Road?
Yeah.
The Rangers and the Hurricanes tonight.
Yep, I'm going Rangers. I hear you, and I thought the same thing. Like that's going to leave a mark, losing that game after playing the way you did with Shesterkin, who's going to win, I think, going to win the Vezina, right?
Yeah,
he's gonna. Playing the way he did, and it's a tough one. But you know what? That's a resilient team. Look at the way they bounced back, and I understand Crosby was hurt, but look at the way that they bounced back and won the last two games of that series. I think that they're going to find their game from periods 1 and 2 in game 1 and even this thing up.
Game 2 coming up tonight in the Western Conference Final between the Dallas Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors. Warriors favored by 6 points in this one at home. Michelle, let's start with you. Warriors minus 6. Who you got?
Do I continue my Warriors hate? Yes. Yes, I do, Joe. Give me the Mavs. I think that they're going to come out with my called shots. I said Luka's going to go off tonight. I think they're going to have a big game. I think this is going to be a close series, actually. I think the Mavs are on the up. And I don't think they win. I think the Warriors still win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer game. So give me the Mavs.
Joe Rexroad, Warriors minus six tonight in game two.
You just hate the Warriors so much.
You just love them so much.
But,
fanboy.
But,
Brony boy.
Yeah, is there some, I was going to say, is there some word for like a Warriors brony? I don't know. But I'm actually going Mavs. I'm going to take those points, and I'm not sure outcome. I think I called a shot they're going to win.
You did.
So I'll stick with that. I could see the Warriors winning a close game, but I think it is going to be a very good game. So I'll take those points.
Warriors minus six. I mean, this one, I thought about locking this one, but I already did it. So I'll go Warriors minus six. But I think they win pretty comfortably tonight in game two. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, you're up first. Your first individual selection.
Heat Celtics game three, Celtics minus 6.5. Give me the Heat. Give me your Heat. I think impressive bounce back from the Celts in game two for sure. But I think Jimmy Butler and company are going to respond. I think this is going to be a very back and forth series. Give me the Heat and the 6.5. Or yes.
I'll just go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and I'll make the same pick. I think Heat plus 6.5. In game three coming up between the Heat and the Celtics. Michelle Knezvik, your first individual selection.
Okay, well, I'm going the same game with you guys, but I'm locking down the Miami Heat. I think they're going to have a big bounce back game. I also think that the Heat are going to win on the money line. So give me the Heat and the points.
There you go. Heat plus 6.5. Michelle locking down the Miami Heat. Michelle, kick us off with your second individual selection.
Okay, I have got the Cincinnati Reds and the Toronto Blue Jays. The Cincinnati Reds are plus 1.5. Give me the Blue Jays, minus the 1.5. I don't think the Cincinnati Reds have any hope for the rest of the season. So there we
Apparently
go.
Apparently not.
Didn't you pick the Reds? Did you pick the Reds last week?
No, I didn't. And then that was the game I picked the Pirates.
Pirates.
Okay.
What
a
battle that was.
Where the Cincinnati Reds, like.
Do you have a weird, like, hating the Reds obsession?
No.
Okay. 22 wins.
I'm 22
in. I'm all
wins.
In. I am all in on this.
I'll go with the Florida Panthers to win on the road in game three against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay with a buzzer beater last night in regulation. They take a 2-0 series on the road. I think the trend of road win continues for the moment in game three. The Panthers have to win this one, so they will win in game three. So I will go Florida on the puck line. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
I mean, we're way too close here, but I'm sorry. I'm sticking with that, too. That's exactly my pick also. Game three, I think the Panthers get it done and turn this into a series.
Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Okay. This has to be my lock, and it is my lock. Game three, Avs, Blues, St. Louis. They're going to be all fired up in St. Louis. Oh, my gosh, they can take the series lead. Avs absolutely reestablish themselves. Lock.
Guaranteed. Wow. I'll go the exact opposite. Blues win. Mm. They take a 2-1 series lead in game three against the Avs, and a little adversity coming for Colorado. We'll see how they handle that, but I'm going St. Louis to win in game three. Michelle, your final individual selection.
I'm going back to Florida versus Tampa, but actually I'm opposite you guys. Give me Tampa. I think this will not be much of a series, and I think Tampa is just going to find its way all the way back in that final game.
Andre Vasilevsky looks pretty dialed in right now, and that is a tough thing for Florida to overcome. You're talking about one goal against Toronto has been dominant so far in this series against Florida as well. When he's locked in, he's still the best goalie in the world.
Yep. I hope Tampa Bay is not taking for granted all these things that are happening for them.
I'm just waiting on something good to happen to that team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the whole city with the whole region with their teams.
Maybe Brady will just suit up, get on the ice.
Yeah, maybe so.
Is Brady a brony?
I don't know. Joe, you are the only
brony here, okay?
This has been Weekend Winners. We'll take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad. You're on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The game streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. I will never, ever forgive Adam Fingan totally torpedoing this program
today
at the 9 o'clock hour.
You don't even understand. Max Herz is in here telling us stories. Like, you don't even understand the depth of this world that I had no idea.
And well, I would much prefer to not understand the depth of this world that you've brought me into.
Hey, this is Vingan. I mean, this is just me randomly making a joke at Stillman's expense about how he creates these fantasy worlds. Remember, it was like Star Wars, My Little Pony, and we've stumbled into this very terrifying world.
Have you seen what DJ Burnside has mashed up here on Twitter at your expense?
Good.
The answer is no, you haven't seen it, but you have now. Oh. I have just retweeted it at @RStanleyNHL on Twitter.
What in the world? And now Gregory Anderson also has a really freaky one. Oh, my gosh. I seriously might quit today. I need to just delete my Twitter account. I mean, I think if there's ever a time to do it, this may be the time to do it.
Oh, good gracious. I mean, this thing is totally gone off the rails here today. But hey, you know what?
It's Friday.
We're the only show in town talks about bronies. What I was previously unaware of before 9:08 today, whenever Bingen came on. Good gracious.
The only show in town is going to tell it like it is on the bronies. All right?
That's right.
All right. Let me get to this. I like this question on the text line.
Okay.
Driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. By Frank, who says, which would you guys rather see? Phil at 9 million over 8 or Johnny Gaudreau at 10 to 10 and a half? Over the same time period. This would be, I guess, an either-or for the Preds. And again, we're making a jump here to think that Johnny Gaudreau would even be interested in signing with the Preds. But that's an interesting hypothetical. Your answer.
It's close. The thing to keep in mind here, Johnny Gaudreau is a better player. Johnny Gaudreau is a year older. And Johnny Gaudreau is much smaller. So those are three things to keep in mind there. I don't love giving out $10.5 million contracts. I'd probably go Forsberg, but it's close. I mean, Gaudreau put up 115 points this year. So you got an opportunity for the next 3-4 years for him to be really good. I worry about his size. Now, I will say this. As far as durability is concerned, he's been pretty good so far. So if you can convince me that Johnny Gaudreau is going to be healthy moving forward, Gaudreau's the better player, and I'll take my chances with him. But I don't know. That's a lot of money. It's a whole lot of money for a guy that, you know, he was great this year. Can he approach 115 points again? I don't know. Maybe he can.
Yeah, and, you know, then there's always the postseason thing, you know. You don't want the regular season. Now, look, Forsberg needs to be better in the postseason than, like, he was this last series. But he's had successful postseasons. Also, would Johnny, I mean, and look, if the answer, I guess, to this is no, then I think then you need to be less rigid as a coach. But it does seem that John Hines is not a big fan of small guys, right? So would Johnny Gaudreau fit well into John Hines' system? Again, the answer, when you're that talented, still needs to be yes, right?
And he needs to fit in anywhere, yeah.
Yes, he's too good. But I'm just saying, like, Hines likes physicality. He's big on even his – he went through it yesterday on – sort of the expectations away from the puck and things like that, and it's easier to do some of the stuff he wants if you're bigger and stronger.
I mean, Gaudreau is 5'9", 165 pounds. It hasn't meant much so far because he's so good, and his vision is incredible. He's a 40-goal scorer this year. I'm talking myself into Johnny Gaudreau, Joe.
There you go.
I'm on the fly. I'm talking myself into just – let Forsberg go by the wayside and just go sign Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah. You know, if you can actually get that done, now the in-between time between losing Forsberg and signing him, boy, that'll be fun. That'll be fun for David Poile.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. You know, everybody's talking about Johnny Gaudreau. you at least know, unless Philip Forsberg is just totally lying, you at least know that there's interest of him wanting to play for your hockey team. He's been here. You know him. All those things. Johnny Gaudreau may have zero interest whatsoever in playing for the Nashville Predators. I have no idea. He's in the middle of a playoff run right now. I would imagine that Calgary's going to at least try to keep him after the year. And who knows? They could go on to win the cup. I have no clue what's going to happen there. But there's a whole lot of things that have to go right for you to even put yourself in a position to be with Johnny Gaudreau. So, to me, I don't put the chances of something like that happening very high at all.
What if you sign Forsberg? Do you still pursue Johnny Gaudreau? That's taking up most of everything, but imagine that. If you want to talk about a team that can get better with this core.
Yeah. I mean, I'd look into it. Now, then you're signing Forsberg to an 8-year deal. I presume you're signing Gaudreau to a 7-year deal at that point. You got 4 years left to Duchesne. You got 3 years left to Johansson. Like, to me, if you're signing both of them, you transition from trying to be competitive right now to you're back in your all-in phase if you've got Forsberg and Gaudreau. Is that where they're comfortable going right now? I don't know. And is the team, if you have Forsberg back and you add Johnny Gaudreau to it, is that team a Stanley Cup contender in your mind?
Well, let's go through the whole list of things that, as Vingan said, not very likely, but if you check all of them, I think potentially. I think it starts with Saros being a Vezina winner or close to it.
I would assume the second line scoring would be pretty shored up at that point.
You would think so. Whether
you've got Forsberg and Duchesne playing with whoever, whether it's Granlund or Johansson, Gaudreau would be playing for the other one at that point. Now, that's the other thing you think about. Granlund's not a big guy. Gaudreau's not a big guy. Tomasino's not a big guy. Is that your second line? Because I could see them getting pushed around pretty quickly. So, I don't know.
You can mix it up in different ways.
We've now started going into line combinations with Johnny Gaudreau. So,
hey, we fixed the Preds today. So, yes. We fixed the Preds and we've added to the Brony community today. It's a very productive show.
Joe, your final thoughts on Jimbo Fisher and his tirade against Nick Saban yesterday, which we played the audio of earlier in the show. If you missed it, go back and check out our podcast, Robbie and Rex Road, on Spotify and Apple as well. What did you make of Jimbo Fisher, and what do you think this means for he and Saban's relationship as they move forward here?
Well, I think Jimbo Fisher, one thing this shows you, and I think this is true of a lot of people who used to work for Nick Saban, I don't think a lot of people have touchy-feely close relationships with Nick Saban who work for him. Now, this is something that I actually could have told you in the 1990s. But, like, for there to be – I understand Jimbo's anger because I think Saban, for one thing, he was inaccurate. I mean, and I agree. Like, he basically said all those kids just, like, got paid. Like, I agree that Jimbo has a point in his name, but I also think this also shows you, like, the lack of relationship. And now, I mean, we've got – this is the ultimate – and plus, let's remember – Jimbo is the only assistant of a whole bunch of Saban assistants who have become head coaches to ever beat him.
Yeah.
So this has become the best rivalry in college football. That's now the biggest game next year in college football. I don't care what those teams are. And I tell you what, man, you got those Aggies fired up. They just beat Alabama. I would not want to be on the other side of the Aggies in the Music City Bowl next year. They're going to be a fired up 8-4 team. Watch out.
Despicable was the word that was used many times. There have been a lot of Daffy Duck gifts to go along with that from Jimbo Fisher yesterday as well. It's great stuff. I think a top five moment for me in the history of college football took place yesterday. It was amazing.
I mean, there's never been a press conference that got covered more extensively than that press conference just did.
In May.
Yeah. It was just called out of the blue. I mean, just great stuff. It was a great day for college football.
Joe, we're going to pretend like the last hour of this program didn't happen. We're going to move forward to Monday.
Yes, and shout out to Camden Fain in a Butler freshman. sports media in studio today, learning some things from Michelle and me, or
hopefully
maybe trying to unlearn and unlisten. Yes. But he has actually had some brony stories he shared with us too. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here.
Good gracious. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. The DDC is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.